Thank you. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Lord, I have loved thy habitation, the place where their honor dwells. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the earth sing praises. Our hymn of praise this morning is in our bulletin. What a mighty God we serve.
God that set me free, only God can set me free. mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before me. Heaven and earth adore me. Angels bow before me. Heaven and earth adore me. Angels bow before me.
Morning.
Let's prepare our hearts for prayer. Lord God, we come to you this morning, God, giving you all the thanks, the praise, the honor, and the glory, Lord God. We thank you for watching over us as we slept last night and for allowing us to rise this morning, Lord God, giving you all of the praise, Lord God. For we recognize that you're King of Kings, you're Lord of Lords, you are the great I am, Lord God. You are the bright morning star, Lord Jesus. And we just love you, Lord God, for loving us, God. We thank you for being a father. We thank you for being a friend, Lord God. We thank you for being a comforter, Lord God. We thank you for being a lover to our souls, Lord Jesus. And so we lift up, Lord God, this service to you, God. It's in your hands, Lord God. We pray that you will have your way and be in the midst of us in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I ask that you would heal, that you would deliver, that you would set free, Lord God, that you would renew, Lord God, that you would strengthen, Lord Jesus. For you said, for your word says that he who the Son has set free is free indeed, Lord God. And so I pray that you will wipe away every tear, Lord God, every heartache, Lord Jesus. I pray that you will take away every worry and every concern, Lord Jesus, and that you would just allow us to just worship you with spirit and in truth and just praise you on today, Lord God. And we leave this service in your hands, Lord God. We declare the victory in the name of Jesus. And I just ask, Lord God, that you will lift up a standard against the hand of the enemy, hallelujah, Lord God, and that no weapon that is formed against us will be able to prosper, God. And so we give you all of the praise, all of the thanks, all of the honor, and all of the glory. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Selection from our choir. See some new dark skinned people. Oh, Mr. Carlos. This time we're going to have our young men come and read our scriptures this morning, our Old Testament, our Kenny.
The Hebrew
scripture reading for today is Proverbs chapter 16, verses 24 through 25. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death.
Amen. Kevin, the high top three.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel scripture. Today I will be reading Luke chapter 11, verses 37 to 41. Now when he had spoken, a Pharisee asked him to have lunch with him, and he went in and reclined at the table. When the Pharisee saw it, he was surprised that he had not first ceremonially washed before the meal. But the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside of you are full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also, but give that which is within it as charity and then all things are clean for you."
Amen. Amen. From all that dwells. This is the summary of our Decalogue. Hear what Christ our Savior says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the God of Almighty. From this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church universal, meaning of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, lasting. Amen. And we'll have another selection by our see a young lady that I remember as a 9 or 10 year old who was a young adult woman now, taller than her mom. But I also see one of my best friends I ever had in my life. So, when I visit this police station, this is the really most special time in our service. Ms. Matos? Can we start with the rest of you? Would you please start? Okay. Not sure. Amen. Could you repeat that, please? Okay. Those are the newlyweds. By way of Amen. Amen. Almost every morning when I go to have breakfast, I see Miss Matos. And she encourages me, and I encourage her. And she came a long way today on the metro to be here. So I'm really appreciative of her being here. Amen. With two little people. And we were talking before Mr. Eli was born, so I'm glad to finally see Mr. Eli. If I had a picture of my granddaughter, they almost look like they could be related. So it's just kind of odd. Unfortunately, they're not here today. But on behalf of all of our New Liberation AME Church family, we welcome you from near and far. We're so glad to have you here, and especially the newlyweds. I'm glad to see you here today. They got married yesterday. They have some big smiles this morning, and they just ought to. And especially the proud parents here today. Mr. Saunders is one of my very, very best buddies. We started out playing basketball together. They ended up at the same church, and our friendship just grew exponentially from there. So we actually used to live in the same neighborhood. They got us to move into our neighborhood, and then they left us. That's what a friend would do. Got us in the neighborhood, stayed a few years, and then they went and left us. But they were retired now and happy in North Carolina, so we are so glad to see you. So right now, let's stand up and greet all of our visitors, please. Is it too soon to be one? It's too soon. Turn my mic off. Thank you. Extended visitors welcome for very good reason. So we have a few announcements. Well, first, Jamal, you got any praise reports today? You have any praise reports today? Yeah, would you like to share that? Well, let me, because I put them on the spot, so let me give them a couple seconds to get them together. But last week, one of his good friends, his buddy used to play ball with at Sidwell Friends, was in the hospital. And this is real strange, but this is all part of what we talked about when Jamal was in the hospital. Sometimes God allows you to go through things so you can be a witness to somebody else. So I'll leave it at that and you take it. That was the digest version. Jamal had people praying for his brother because of what he thought. And he thought his friend was going to have the same surgery that he had. But because he prayed and he got other people to pray, the day he was supposed to have surgery, they decided they didn't need to have the surgery. But I just thought, because you took the lead in it and you called people to have people praying for you, that was a witness to his life. And I don't know where that goes from here, but what I do know is, because you asked people to pray in faith, not put in faith, the surgery was not necessary. So again, I just thank God for what you did. We're supposed to use our experiences to help other people. And he was really serving his buddy. They played ball together, and the real thing was, he believed it was almost the same effect that you had. But his brother was in Massachusetts, and Jamal was in Philadelphia. So how could two athletes have the same kind of affection miles apart? But I don't think it was about that. I think it was about a witness because of what he had been through. So I thank God for you being faithful, and teaching your buddy. He didn't already know how to pray and faith. And today he's home. Amen. Okay. So on the back of your bulletin, you'll see we have some announcements. Again, next Saturday, we have the National Summit on Nonviolence at Metropolitan AME in Washington. The Sunday after that, we have our Family and Friends Day. So right after service, we're going to go out to Largo Center. I mean, the golf course. I'm sorry, yeah. At the Lake Arbor Golf Course. So we're asking people to invite folks. Now, we already had a menu. We had it canceled 2 weeks ago because of the weather. But we're still expecting folks to come and bring food. The men are bringing the meats. So we just need to get a better idea how many people are going to be here. And then on the 28th is our big unity day. Mr. Chavez drawn to put together this flyer. I can't really distribute it yet because we got to get it approved by wife, but this is what our flyers will look like on our website and what we're going to distribute electronically and by hand. But again, we want folks on September the 28th to come at 3:00 so our Episcopal supervisor can be well received. Amen. Unity Day is our Men's Day and Women's Day combined. So that's what Unity Day is about. And our theme is United for Christ in spite of our differences. We all have differences. But despite what those differences may be, we're still united in Christ. So again, that's going to be on Sunday, September 3rd at 3:00. So it's going to be right here at the school. We got a birthday today. We have a birthday today. I saw all of these nicely tanned people coming in. I thought they were visitors. Then I realized it was the potluck. They were on vacation. So, Miss Jordan, would you please stand? It's Jordan's birthday today. Yesterday, she actually made her school's field hockey team. So, try out the wound. So, if you try to hug her, she might look a little sore. They worked her yesterday. She is exhausted. 4 days? For 4 days or so. And when you play a sport, you don't use the same muscles for every sport. So, you have to get in football shape, basketball shape. Dance. You might be in excellent condition, but when you play sports, there's certain muscles you use that you don't normally use. So that's why you get tired and exhausted and in pain. So you have to now get used to using your field hockey muscles. It's different than just being in shape. But we congratulate you. What your high school is? Westlake? Or North Point? Congratulations. You know, look for big things. have Stuart Pro Tem here today, so am I forgetting any other announcements? No? Could you stand and remind us? Some were here last week. Amen. So all of our young people who are going back to school, please come next Sunday. And then again, the week after that is when we're having our family and friends day plus our cookout. So after we have service, family and friends day, we're going to the Lake Arbor Golf Course. And we're going to have the pool is available. It's a $5 charge to go swimming. But again, all the food is going to be prepared and everything you need, fun. We're going to bring a big tug of war rope. We're going to do old school sack races. We're going to have some fun. So y'all get to laugh at the adults trying to run, trying to hop. But we are determined to beat y'all in the tug of war. And we don't win nothing else. When we were growing up in high school, we would say if we lose the game, we're going to win the fight. Well, that's the fight we're going to win next week, the tug of war. Amen? Amen. Our treasurer, time for our offering. So as we prepare for our offering, if we can all bow our heads in prayer, tell God, Father, we say thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Not just because the sun is shining, God, but we've got visitors here that we haven't seen in a while who have come to be a blessing to this church. So God, we pray that God extend to them the love of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for this day and all that it includes. Now, Lord, bless the gift and the gift. But God, especially bless those who may not have to give what they would like to give. Help them to meet all of their needs according to your riches and grace. And as always, God, we ask that you give our offices the godly integrity to only use these monies for the further upward of the people. We claim it already done by faith, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our treasure will come with the birthday girl, young lady. We can come from the rear at the direction of our usher. This time our young people are excused for people's church. I'm going to be reading from the book of John, the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now also I say unto you, where I am going, you cannot come." But here's the key verses, 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I'm asking if you will pray with me as I use the theme this morning, willful denial. Willful denial. Again, eternal God, our Father, I stand before these, your people, with absolutely nothing of my own to say. But I pray, God, that your words are the words I speak, so that your people will be blessed, but only you get the honor and the glory. And we believe it's already done by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past week, over and over, I kept hearing this phrase, willful denial. And that was in reference to the situation out in Jefferson, Missouri, where despite all that had taken place, people still feel the young man who was killed deserved it. Not knowing any of the details, specifics, still is, for some reason in our culture, there's always a divide. And I believe, as I said before, we've never been more divided as a country than we are right now. When I look at the way we treat young men who get murdered, particularly young black men, when I look at the conversation we have about the undocumented immigrant children, how people talk about them, when I look at how we treat people who have substance abuse issues, that we still want to treat them more as criminal issues than health issues. But again, as a society, we have never been more divided at any other time than I believe right now, racially, gender, why you name it, we're divided in almost every phase of our society. In the book of John, the book of John, written by John, is really about what his main theme in the book of John is to get to, particularly the Gentile Christians, to really know and believe the power of Jesus Christ. They're followers, but he's really trying to make sure they understand that Jesus' power and to have knowledge of him and faith in him. If you read the book of John, you'll see knowledge and faith over 90 times just in the book of John. That kind of lets you know that knowledge of him and having faith or belief in him is critical in this 90 times they use the phrase knowledge and belief or faith. That tells you that for some reason, even though they saw the things that Jesus did, some people still didn't believe. Isn't that amazing? In a world we have today, like then, people can see things and still not believe. Now, some of that is, you know, you got so much technology, computer technology, so it's hard to believe what you really see sometimes, right? You can go to some shows and they can put on a show with technology. You don't know what you're looking at, right? But in these biblical times, they saw what Jesus did. He had a 3-year ministry where he performed miracles from day one. The first day he began his ministry, he started performing miracles when he turned water into wine. So from the whole time he was ministering, they saw miraculous things. Dead people come back alive. People who had been crippled from birth began to get up and walk. Now, you know, the society didn't want that to happen because Jesus was changing the business side of the society. Imagine today if dead people didn't stay dead. Who would be the most unhappy people? The funeral parlors. They would be out of business. Can you imagine if everybody who got sick was healed? The pharmaceutical companies and the hospitals would all be broke. It would be no different when it was back then. They didn't want to see these miracles take place. Even though the miracles were a good thing, they didn't want to see that. Because everybody's concerned about how it affects me and my pocket. But Jesus made it real clear. This is a conversation he's having just before he knows he's going to be crucified. So imagine what you would say to your loved ones when you know your time was short, what would you tell them? What would be the final instructions you would give your children, your grandchildren, your closest, dearest friends? Would you waste time talking about sports? What would you spend time? What would you want them to know? The last thing you would want them to remember you by, what would you say? Jesus says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciple. Not by how much money you have, not by the positions that you have, not the institutions that you build, but he says, by this, all men will know you're my disciples by the way you love one another as I have loved you. That's what's most critical for him, is to let them know people are going to know who you are by the way you love. Not the way you dress, not what you drive, not where you live, not where you work, not how much money you have, but by the way you love one another. You would think that wouldn't be necessary since they've been following him for 3 years. They should have known that by now. But for some reason, we kind of miss that lesson every now and then. Why? Well, today I want to give you a couple reasons why we sometimes don't remember those critical lessons that we should. Because we've all been taught that we need to love people. But usually we're taught to love people under certain conditions. I always believe that you have to love people the most when they deserve it the least, which is hard. When they've been as nasty and disrespectful and spiteful, the Bible says we ought to pray for even our enemies, but to love everybody. So let me give you just a couple reasons why I believe we missed that lesson on love. The first one is sometimes we just ignorant. We know what's right. We just ignorant. We decide, I don't want to. I don't want to. I'm mad. They did something to me 20 years ago. They never apologized. I don't care what you say. We just ignorant. And we don't want to love certain people. They look different. They dress different. They sound different. They all tatted up. We can't love nobody like that. They wear their hair a certain way. Why would we want to love them? They used to belong to this group. This kind of lifestyle. They smoke weed. They do all kinds of things. But sometimes that is the very person that we need to love to show them the love of Christ so they may come to know him for themselves. But because we just want to be ignorant. We want what we want. And we can't love everybody. I mean, how would that look to all my friends who know how tough I am? Right? There's a song out. I can't remember the name of the song. But one of the lines in the song says, I think it's by Trey Songz, and he wants this girl, she's with this no good guy. Can't show his love because he's still a G. So he really wants to reach out to her, but deep down inside, he's still a G, so he can't really show all his feelings because he don't want her to think he's soft. And sometimes that's what we do. We don't want people to think that we're overextending ourselves to them. So we let them suffer. And God holds us accountable. Because we know we could help. We could extend that hand to somebody. But I've done enough of it. I ain't going no further. That's all you gonna get from me. And maybe that one more extension of love might make the difference. The other thing is sometimes the gospel just is too easy for something. It's too simple. It can't be that simple that I would believe. There's always this debate, can you lose your salvation? Or how could somebody on the cross when Jesus was being crucified, seconds before he died, get salvation? The man had been a thief all his life. He admitted that he was a thief all his life. He said, we deserve to be up here. This man has done nothing wrong. He says, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. What was Jesus' response? This day, you will be with me in paradise. He never joined anybody's church. He never tithed the penny. Probably never did anything good for anybody his whole life. Yet seconds before he died, Jesus said, this day, you will be with me in paradise. Well, for some people, that's unfair. They've been serving the Lord all their life. They've been tithing. They've been ushering, joining the choir. They've been doing all this stuff. How can somebody who at seconds before he died get the same salvation I got? That just ain't right. And because it's not fair to them, they don't want to have nothing to do with it. But the Bible is clear. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. There's some things about God we will never understand. And we always say favor ain't fair. How does he continue to bless some people and others struggle all their lives? Just doesn't seem fair. Some people don't want to serve a God like that. But maybe it's because your relationship is not the same as theirs. It looks like one thing, but you don't know what they do on the inside. Maybe they have a life full of prayer and faith. And maybe your life is full of expectation and criticism. You're always looking at somebody else, how they so. But if you knew what they did, I remember one of my buddies bought a house, and he was saying some of his friends were jealous of his house. And he told him, if you was willing to go through what I went through, you could have a house like this. So many times we think it's easy what people do, particularly our children. One of the things we make is that we make our lives look too easy for them. And they think it's just supposed to happen. They don't realize the sacrifice it took, the prayer, the hard work, when you could have had things and you denied yourself. It just happened. Mommy and daddy got it like that. No, mommy and daddy don't have it like that. They sacrificed. When they could have driven a nicer car, when they could have gone out to eat a whole lot, when they could have dressed better, went on more vacation, they chose to be a blessing to their children. And now we forgot. I may have shared this before, but how one of my buddies told me that, you know, just a few years ago, they were having dinner with their mother. And their father was a preacher years ago, and he died, but he was blind. And they were eating dinner. And he said this, Mom, I didn't know you liked that part of the chicken. And she said, yeah, I love this part of the chicken. He said, but all while we were growing up, you never ate that part of the chicken. She said, that's because I wanted to make sure you and your sister had enough to eat. He said he broke down in tears and he cried when he was telling me the story because he didn't realize the sacrifice that his mother had to make so they could have enough food to eat just with chicken. He thought, how ignorant I must have been. We thought it was easy, yet my mother didn't eat a part of the chicken just to make sure me and my sister had enough to eat. And all of this time, they thought they were doing it. Too many times we just don't realize what it took because our fault as parents sometimes, we make it look too easy. But that's why I was so glad to see the movie, The Passion of the Christ. That was the most graphic depiction of what Jesus went through for us. That's why every first Sunday when we honor him with the Holy Communion, I want you to picture that in your mind. That was not easy. None of us would have gone through what he went through. As much as I love some people, I don't know if I go through all of that. I might say it with my mouth, but when that whip hit me, I don't know. We might all be in a hot place because I don't think I could have done what he did. That's because of who he was. And that's why John wrote this epistle. He wanted to make sure that people understood the deity of Christ. He's not just a man. The Muslims and other people, they call Jesus just a prophet. He was a good man. They talk about him. That's one of the tricks that they use when they go on college campuses. Louis Farrakhan and the Muslims, they go on black college campuses, and he talks about Jesus all the time. And so a lot of our young people get confused because they think, well, he's talking about Jesus. But he's talking about Jesus only as a prophet, not the Son of God. And there's a huge difference. But our young people go away to college and they want to be grown and independent and they tired of mom and daddy making them go to church. So then they listen to these speeches and they get confused. But be clear, Jesus was not just a prophet. He was the Son of God. He was man and God at the same time. But it's too simple for some people. The other thing is sometimes people just love sin and they ain't gonna change. I like what I do. I was ministering to a brother one time and happened to be a Muslim brother. And I was trying to get him to stop using drugs. And the brother told me, if Allah ain't got no drugs, I don't hear what he got to say either. And I thought, this brother is serious about his drug use. He didn't want to hear anything that would take him away from his drug use. Some of us are that about our sports. Some of that about our shopping. Some of that is about our lifestyles. Some of that is about our money. You want me to go to church? Well, that's the day I make my biggest money. Some people, that's why they won't serve God, because it's going to interfere with what they do and what they love most. If I can make my money on Sunday morning, that's what I'm going to do. That's when we play football. That's when we play basketball. For some brothers, that's when they wash their cars. I was shocked to know a lot of my preacher friends go get their haircut Sunday morning. I was shocked. I don't want to talk to nobody Sunday morning until I get to church. They go get their, they have a standing appointment every Sunday morning so they look nice and fresh on Sunday morning. I don't think I want to be in a barbershop before I have to stand in the pulpit. But for some people, that works for them. But sometimes we just love what we love. And we're not going to give it up. That's why I was so afraid when this passage law by decriminalizing marijuana. Too many of us going to think it's legal now. It's not legal. And if you go to work and you get drug tested, you're going to lose your job. And you thought it was illegal because they decriminalized it. Can you imagine all the people going to lose their good government jobs? Because they think it's not illegal anymore. It's just been decriminalized. So now you get a citation if there's a certain amount of weed. But imagine all the people who are going to get caught up in this law. Because they love what they love. They want what they want. And no matter who asks them to do it, they're going to do what they want. Over and over again, people, they're not going to stop drinking. They're not going to stop drinking. They're not going to stop cheating. They're not going to stop stealing. It is amazing to me, the people who have just decided, I want what I want, and no matter what you say, I'm going to do what I want to do, until they end up where they don't want to be. If it's prison, if it's rehab, if it's behind bars, wherever it may be, you're going to end up someplace you don't want to be, because the Bible says, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the ends thereof lead to death. It was a good idea at the time, till you got caught. And now you realize you can't pay the consequences that are required. The final thing is, some of us are just self-centered. Human nature dictates that we want things on our own terms. I'll agree to do something, but it's got to be on my terms. If you want me to come help you do something, you got to pay me or have some pizza or something, but I'll come. But it's got to be on my terms. And I can't do it between 6 and 8. You want to do it before then or after then, but I ain't going to do it when you ask me to do it. So we want God to be the same way, but God is clear. It's either his way or no way. It's either his way or no way. Next week's message is going to be about where the scripture says, you to be his disciple, it has to be like you hate your mother and father. That's how much love and devotion you must have for God. It's like you hate your mother and father. Are you kidding me? I need to love you so much. It's like I hate my mother, the one that brought me into this world. That's how serious God is about following his commandments. And we live in a society today where we don't think that's so important. What used to be sin ain't sin no more. We can do what we want. We can bend it just a little bit, but it's not that important that we do the things Christ tells us to do. But that's the problem that we have, because we're just self-centered. We want it on our terms. And God said, no, you don't get it like that. There's a way that we have to walk. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. There's no other way. There's certain things that's the only way you get there. You don't go into the military and determine what rank you want to be. No, there's a process already in place. They send you to boot camp. Everybody get a buzz cut. I don't care how pretty you think your hair is. Everybody's going to cut your hair off. You're going to get the same uniform, the same boots, the same underwear. You don't get to wear stylish designer clothes for boot camp, because they're trying to break you down and make you understand the military way. Because you need to think a certain way if you're going to be in that army. We got to be able to count on you and know you're going to do and follow orders. And if you can't do that, you need to go home. That's what Christ is saying here. There's a way I want you to operate as my followers, and that is with love. Not because you ride up in a Bentley, not because you have Louis Vuitton, not because you live in the right neighborhood. It's by the way you love one another. And until we learn to do that, church, we just happen church. We're not followers of Christ. You can come to a church every Sunday, but unless you demonstrate the love of Christ, don't call yourself a Christian. How dare we take that certain attitude with people that we're not going to help somebody. We're not going to show love to these people. We're not going to embrace people who come to this church. There are going to be people who come here who don't look like we want them to look. If they're homeless and they smell like urine, you got to embrace them too. You never know who you hold. The Bible says they're always around angels unaware. And they may smell like urine today, but next week, you don't know what God's going to do in their life and how that embrace may have been defended. Some people haven't been hugged all week. They come to church every Sunday hoping somebody hugs them because nobody has shown them love and affection all week. And going through counseling materials and things, I can share with couples how, you know what is most important for a lot of people? Knowing that somebody wants them. That's what's most important. Not that you bought them stuff, not that you just said all the words, and you know, now we post stuff on Instagram and all over the social media. But people just want to know that you love them and that you want them. And until you make people feel that, they don't feel love. You can buy the nicest jewelry, clothes, shopping sprees, take them to the best restaurant, but until people know that you love them, they don't feel love. Too many times I've had to counsel people and the brothers say, but I bought her a new house. She got a new car. And she said, but he don't love me. Church, all we have to do is embrace what Christ taught, that this new command I give to you, that you love. Today after church, I have to go down to St. Mary's County for one of the members that was at the church I came from died Saturday morning, early Saturday morning. Sister Sheila, I got a call about 4 o'clock. And I want to ask you, if you died today, what would people remember you for? The brother that died, his favorite phrase was, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Every time we had Bible study, anytime we were church, he wanted to sing that song. He loved everybody. His family, strangers, anybody. He and his wife embraced my wife and I when we went to that church. And he gave me some things that I knew he had to have loved me. That church was over 300 years old. It's one of the first AME churches ever established. I believe that was one of the first 20 AME churches ever established. Established in 1804. He gave me documents that showed the property of that church. Those are documents that they were trying to prove that we still were supposed to get another 7 acres of land. But he handed over a whole briefcase full of documents to me. Not because he thought I was a lawyer, not because he thought I was smarter, because he knew I loved. And he loved me. And so he gave me the most precious thing he had for that church, the church's documents. He'd been in our church since he was a little boy. He's in his late 70s today. But he gave me documents that he had from that church that are over 50 years old. Not because he thought I was smarter than everybody. Not because he thought I had political differences, but it was all based on love. Love. And when you love people, you don't mind giving stuff. You don't give out of fear, but you give because you love and you trust them. I said earlier, the book of John, over 90 times, it says, know and believe. You got to know and believe God. Because the world will make you crazy. The world will tell you don't trust. This is foolishness. What kind of God would you serve that does this and does that? But you got to know and you got to believe. And if you don't do that, it's willful to deny. You've got enough examples in your life of what God is real. You know people who got it. You've seen God change people's lives. You got to know God for yourself and you got to believe. And when you do that, and when you do it in love, all people know that we're his disciples. How? By the way we love. Not by what we drive, not by what we accomplish, not by what we have, but only by the way we love one another. And if people don't know you for that, maybe we need to make some changes in our lives. But it's got to be because the way we love one another, not judge, not withdraw, not with fear, but when you love people, you want to give and pour into their lives. Not take from them, but you want to make their lives better. How can I be a blessing? Hear me. John made it real clear. He wrote it. Jesus said, how will people know you're my disciples? By the way you love one another. Can we all stand? If you talk to people who knew me a long time ago, I was known for a lot of other things. I used to be able to play basketball. I used to dress real nice when I was in college. I used to have a little gift of gab. But what I want to be known for today is the anointing of the Holy Spirit and love. I always say to churches, you don't want to be pastor who just got the gift of gab and some charisma. Salespeople have that. Anybody can have the gift of gab and some charisma. You better hope you get a pastor with an anointing of the Holy Spirit and love. That'll take you a whole lot further than the gift of gab. Somebody, any fool with the gift of gab and some charisma can start a church. That's the one profession that there is no certification standard. Isn't that sad? You have to be certified to do almost everything else in this world. Computers, engineering, accounting, architecture, teaching, whatever it is, every other profession, you have to be certified. Law enforcement, you got to pass a physical, a gun range, you got to do all of that stuff. Lawyers have to pass the bar. And a preacher, any fool can get up there and start a church. And they do. And people follow them. But by this, you should know them. Do they love you? Or do they take from you? You have to decide what's more important in your life. Do you love people? And do people know that you love them? Jesus' final instructions, almost final instructions, he said, this new command I give to you, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples. By the way you love one another as I have loved you. Anybody here today missed that before? You've been right, but you ain't loved nobody. And that's one of the things I always say when I do marital counseling. I ask the brother, you want to be right or you want to be happy? You can't be both. And all the brothers said amen. It doesn't matter if you're right. Love somebody. Be whole. Anybody here today want to do that? Get your life right with love. Maybe you got your career together. Maybe you got your education. Or just maybe you've been off on the love thing. And don't nobody know you love them. You use words instead of actions. Jesus spent his 3-year ministry giving and pouring out to other people, healing the sick, feeding hungry people, raising the dead, casting out demons. He said, greater things shall you do than what you've seen me do. Well, it's now time for the Church of Christ to do that. And if you don't feel you have that power, maybe you need to reconnect. Greater things shall you do than what you've seen me do. And We saw him do miraculous things. Anybody here today want to do that? Let's all pray. Our wise and eternal God, our Father, once again, Lord, we say thank you for what you have just done. I thank you, God, that your word goes forward with power and with love and never, ever returns to you void. God, I pray that my words were your words and that the words that were spoken and written by John thousands of years ago are as powerful and relevant today as they were when he wrote them. But help us hear what you want us to hear today. Let us see people the way you see them, not the way we see them with our human eyes. Help us to love people, God, the way you love us. And the way you made sure that we would do it is that you left them with the Holy Spirit. God, help us to absorb the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let every decision that we make be based on the leading and anointing of the Holy Spirit. So when we claim to be Christians and followers of Christ, it is the love that we exhibit that people know for sure. He said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Do whatever you have to do so we can be the men and the women you've called for us to be. We claim it already done by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? As you take your seats, I want to thank all of our visitors again today. I see three generations of women. Three generations of women. I see three generations of another family. And we don't mind when babies make noise in church. That's the sound of life. So we don't get upset when babies cry and act out. We're just glad. I haven't seen my buddy in a couple of years. We used to go, when we go to Charlotte, we kind of missed him. Last couple of times we were there, we missed him. We go to your house and leave a note. But we have Volkswagen Bugs together. We used to play ball together, pray together. So this is my buddy. I think I shared with you before. He used to work at GSA, and I worked about two blocks away from him. So when we needed to talk, we would call each other up. And if I needed to talk, I would buy him lunch. And that means you shut up and you listen. And when he needed to talk, he would buy me lunch. And I had to shut up and listen. And I still miss that. I still miss that. You don't get good friends often. And they're lifelong friends. Even when you don't see them, you're still friends. And I miss that to this day. I usually walk by myself. So when we used to go to lunch, now I go down to TJ Maxx and buy baby clothes for my grandchildren. Show you how my life has changed. Used to go down and buy a nice tie, a pair of cufflinks. Now I come back with a bag of baby clothes. Life has changed. But again, I'm so proud of Lee and Ty. Three generations of newlyweds. You don't find many newlyweds in church the day after their wedding. Amen. But I thank God who they are and what they are. I've known Lee for a long time. I'm really, really proud and happy for him. So I just pray for that union. I'm sure they're going to do well. And I tried to give them a realistic view of what marriage is. I have a really bad joke I always say in the first session. And if love is a dream, marriage is the alarm clock. Young people are back. So do we have a spokesperson or two from our young people's church? Let the birthday girl go first.
And prophets, they, God, tells prophets what they're supposed to say to God's people. And today, we wrote down what we think that God would probably say to us to tell his people.
Amen. Amen.
So today we were talking about God and his prophets and how in many in teens today and older people, how many problems are going on. And so a prophet that we had written, I said, there are many things people face every day, stress, anxiety, depression, bullying. Whether young or old, people have this problem. Knowing a person with a problem that threatens their life or attitude should be helped. All they need is one kind soul to make them smile or even keep them alive.
Sometimes just love is what somebody needs. You just don't realize how people walk around and the burden that they have and the stress. And sometimes just showing an act of kindness and love can make a difference. When I used to do consulting and I would go around and my goal was when I left that day, I wanted to make sure if there was one person in my group who was considering suicide, I wanted them to want to live at least one more day. I wouldn't be there the next day, but the day that I left them, I wanted to make sure that suicide was off the table, not an option. You just don't know when people are going through, and you could be the difference. God doesn't always tell you, go over here and do that. You're not going to see a bright light. You're not going to hear a deep voice. But sometimes he's just leading you to be where you could be. And you don't want to miss that opportunity. Amen. Let's all stand so we can go home. Keep us out of willful denial, because we want what we want, how we want, like we want, when we want. Who can still, in the midst of our ignorance and our arrogance, present us faultless before his Son, who has all power, majesty, and dominion. Be with these your people, now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the church say amen. Let the church sing. God is here. We have to turn. Amen. Thank you.